From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with scholar Mary Graybar, author of Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America. Let's now join Hank and Dr. Graybar in their conversation.
Well, Nicole Hannah-Jones is, I think, about 46 years old or so. She grew up in a mostly black neighborhood, which was kind of run down. She was bused to a white school from second grade on. And she noted as she was, you know, getting closer and closer to her school in this white neighborhood, that houses were getting much nicer, things were cleaner, were kept up. And that sort of started her on her path of bitterness. And then I think when she was in 11th grade, she had this teacher in a Black Studies class that gave her a book by Lerone Bennett. And Lerone Bennett was a radical leftist. He wrote this book called Before the Mayflower, which sets out the thesis of the 1619 Project, that, you know, before the Mayflower came, you know, you had this ship of people from Africa. But even he admits that there was, you know, that slaves came from Africa, which had slavery, and, you know, and the Africans were selling the slaves. But anyway, she then was sort of transfixed on this thesis and, you know, sort of has this resentment, you know, which is, you know, something she's working out. She deliberately lied in the 1619 Project. She knows she's lying. I've caught her in her lies, and is now a very wealthy woman. I mean, it's incredible. In my book, I point out how much money she's made, you know, just from speaking at public universities. I've done several, you know, Freedom of Information Act requests, open records requests for a year of her speaking. And she was doing at least twice a month and was getting at least $25,000 for an appearance for an hour, often remotely. I mean, it's incredible how much money she's been making. And then with the hardcover edition of the 1619 Project and getting prizes, she is a very wealthy woman. So this has been very lucrative for her. And she's not about to give it up and admit, you know, that she was wrong about certain things, if not most of the things she said.
Yeah, talk about this idea laundering issue where a lie is repeated over and over and over again in peer-reviewed materials, and finally it becomes the truth. It's certainly morphs into truth. This idea laundering has really been a blight on academia.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you mentioned James Sweet. There are certain things you can't say. You can't talk about the fact that it was Africans who raided other villages and marched people who were shackled together to the coast and sold them to Europeans. You can't say those things. You can't talk about the fact that a significant percentage of free Blacks in this country also own slaves. You know, that there are certain things that have become verboten in academia. And so we grow up with this idea. You know, I mean, when I grew up, I, you know, just thought, you know, we had invented slavery. You know, this, you know, I grew up in the North, and, you know, it was the bad Southerners who had slaves, and that's why we fought the Civil War, and it was all white versus black. And I think it comes out of fear. You know, you will be ostracized in academia. You have to sort of toe the party line. You won't get a job. And if you do get a job, you will be at risk of losing it. And people, they like to virtue signal. They like to, you know, say, hey, look, I'm a great person. And, Quite frankly, I think a lot of it has to do with white saviorism. I mean, that's a term that's been poo-pooed, but I've been thinking about it quite a bit, and it arises from the desire of many white people to, it's actually a way of treating people of other races unequally. It's a sort of a paternalistic viewpoint. You can't say that about those people. They've never done anything wrong because they haven't had any power. And so therefore they're like innocent little children. And that's sort of the attitude that has gained traction. And of course, there's always been the Marxist agenda, which is to divide and conquer along racial lines. I mean, as soon as the communists set up office in 1919, they set out to follow Lenin's orders and to, rile up, racial animus and, make things a lot worse. And, in order to point to, a sort of prejudice-free socialistic utopia.
Yeah, I want to get into why we know that the 1619 Project is a false narrative. But I also want you to comment on another article that my son gave me yesterday. And this is an interesting story. It all starts with a tweet, August 28, by Rachel Richardson. She's a Duke Blue Devil volleyball player, who says that she was targeted racially, that she was heckled throughout the entirety of a match against BYU, and she says that heckling was done by racial bigots. Then she accused BYU's coaches and the game's officials of having failed to take the necessary steps to stop the unacceptable behavior and create a safe environment. Then her godmother, Lessa Pamplin, who happens to be a criminal defense attorney who's running for judgeship in Texas, tweets this: "My goddaughter was called the N-word every time she served. She was threatened by a white male, told to watch her back going to the team bus." And then you have this tweet coming from this godmother who famously asked CNN why they consistently interview dumb, I don't know if I can say this word on the air, ASS, white women, and you poor white, I can't say this word, can't take it, and white women and men always disappoint. Imagine a Caucasian saying something like that. Then you have LeBron James saying to Rachel, "Be black, we have your back." Then you have Richardson's father corroborating the story, gives unqualified credence to the story. Then you have the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, who says, quote, "I'm disgusted that this behavior is happening and deeply saddened. If others didn't step in to stop it, we have to do more to create an atmosphere where racist a-holes like this never feel comfortable." Then you have the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, Sports Illustrated, NPR, to list a few, all publishing predictable think pieces, despite the fact that there's no evidence that this has ever happened. And when I say this, first of all, BYU issued an apology, a contrite apology. Then they followed that up by saying, "We reviewed all available video, audio, security footage, raw footage from all camera angles. We reached out to more than 50 individuals who attended the event. We interviewed security. We interviewed fans." And then they say, "We found no evidence that any of this ever happened. And if anyone with evidence to the contrary wants to come forward, please do so and share it." This sounds like the Jussie Smollett story, but the reason I bring this story up is there's no investigative journalism. Everybody jumps on the story, it fits a narrative, it becomes popular, the person becomes famous, and there's a person who is mentally challenged who becomes the brunt of all of this. He's the one that supposedly did all of this. And then they had to issue an apology to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, you know, these false historical narratives feed into this. You know, and it really, you know, I don't know what goes on, you know, like why someone like this athlete would do this. I mean, I think they've probably got some emotional or psychological problems. And it's a way to, you know, maybe they're starving for attention or something. But it's really an intimidation tactic. It's the way to get the whole system to come to your defense.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with scholar Mary Graybar. If the United States is to be reimagined as an inherently racist regime, then Thomas Jefferson, the founding, and the Declaration of Independence must be obliterated. In fact, no American hero's legacy can survive the 1619 Project's acid bath of lies. Even Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, is intolerable, as is Frederick Douglass's celebration of America in his famous 4th of July speech. The aim of the 1619 Project is nothing less than to teach young Americans to hate their own country. Read Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America by Mary Graybar. To receive your copy of Debunking the 1619 Project, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. Mary Graybar, in their conversation.
You know, I don't know why someone like this athlete would do this. You know, maybe they're starving for attention or something, but it's really an intimidation tactic. It's the way to get the whole system to come to your defense.
Well, she mentions, Mary, in her tweet that she had just gone through this incredible diversion, equity, inclusion seminar, and it really helped her to understand just how bad racism was in this country.
Yeah, I mean, that's feeding into it. And so you start off with something like the 1619 Project, which has been made into prepackaged lessons that complete with scripts for teachers and worksheets for kids, you know, beginning in kindergarten. And they're reading this stuff. And so when someone makes such wild accusations, you know, you've grown up with this stuff. Your belief is, yeah, this country is really racist. There are people out there, you know, you've got the president saying we've got right-wing extremists who are basically terrorists. And so it's this vilification, it's this demonization of an entire race. And it's getting to be very dangerous, I think, because we've seen this, you know, talk about history. We've seen this in history before. And if you want to look back for examples, we have those, but those are not the ones that, you know, the proponents of critical race theory histories like the 1619 Project want to look at. And, you know, you mentioned narrative, and one of the things that I've seen in academia is the replacement of objectivity and the search for truth with narratives. It's your story. You know, what was your experience? Before I was blocked from Nicole Hannah Jones's Twitter account, she had somehow noticed me and we kind of had a few exchanges. And I said, well, this was, and I mentioned her personal experience, which she has been very public with. And I said, you know, well, that's really terrible to make a second grader, you know, sit on a bus for an hour, go away from her neighborhood and so forth. And, you know, I said something to the effect, I'm sorry you've had that experience, but that's not history. And she's like, oh my God, you know, you don't think what I went through is history? So it's this subjectivity, you know, what have I experienced? What has been my lived experience? Not, you know, let's take a look at the big picture. Let's look at the evidence. Let's try to be as objective. And so you get into these narratives and, you know, and it's really kind of crazy making these DEI workshops, diversity, equity, and whatever it is.
Inclusion.
Inclusion, right. So you start looking for evidence, microaggressions. I mean, that's a crazy concept, right? And so what is a microaggression? Is a microaggression from a white person ignoring you? Well, yeah, that could be a microaggression. Is it a white person being very friendly? Oh, that could be a microaggression. Is it someone looking at you a certain way? I mean, this is really crazy making. This is crazy making stuff. So maybe this athlete really believes it. Who knows? I mean, maybe she's exaggerating. Maybe she just saw something from her teammates and really misinterpreted it. And so this diversity, equity, and inclusion is making people paranoid. It's really making people almost hallucinate and imagine things, you know, and it's intended to do that. It's, you know, it's not intended to make people united, trusting. You know, if it were, we'd be emphasizing our commonalities, looking at, you know, really, what are the real, you know, characteristics, acknowledging, you know, what's gone on in the past, acknowledging differences, but not, you know, sort of making a mountain out of a molehill when it comes to interactions with people of other races.
So this 1619 project is clearly a false narrative, demonstratively a false narrative that slanders such people as Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson. And yet it's funded by taxpayer dollars. And as you alluded to just a few moments ago, it's now in some, I think the figure you used, 75% of the schools in America in terms of grade schools?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it has, you know, sort of seeped in so many different ways. You know, you had the Pulitzer Center that, you know, produced all those lesson plans for K through 12. They've put on these workshops for teachers so that they sneak them in, even in states where it's outlawed. I mean, I've observed these online and, you know, they share tips, which is what, you know, these leftist teachers tend to do when they get together. It's being distributed in libraries. There was a campaign for people to buy up multiple copies of the hardcover edition of the 1619 Project, you know, which is a 500 plus page book, plus a children's book, donate it to school libraries. The lessons are distributed by Learning for Justice, which is the educational arm of the Southern Poverty Law Center. There are these companies that are producing news programs at appropriate grade levels for students. They're incorporating the 1619 Project. So in some way, students are going to be exposed to it, most likely. I mean, and it's in the media, of course. And now there's this big supposed pushback claiming that, you know, that the states that are forbidding the teaching of it because of its historical inaccuracy are engaging in censorship. So I think this week is Banned Books Week. And so they're, you know, running with that. And of course, you know, the banned books are books like my book, you know, challenge you to find my books in any high school library or even, you know, just traditional history books.
You know, what's so troubling about all of this is you have someone who is as erudite and bright and sophisticated and highly positioned as Kamala Harris, who has praised the 1619 Project as, quote, a masterpiece. You have a U.S. Supreme Court justice who promotes the 1619 Project and speaks of Hannah Jones as an acclaimed investigative journalist and says that this is a credible, reliable, historical piece of work, when they have all of the resources at their disposal to demonstrate that it is not. You have the New York Times. It is absolutely incredible how a lie can travel, to paraphrase Mark Twain, a lie can travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a willful distortion. You know, they've got to know the criticism that it's received. You know, they're both ideologues, and it's really scary to think that a Supreme Court justice is. And like I said earlier, there isn't this effort to engage, to go back and forth, which has been the traditional method in scholarship. It's to, you know, present your research to others, to colleagues, and to have this give and take and to, you know, defend what you say. The 1619 Project, you know, think about it. Why is it put in schools? Well, a second grader can't say, oh, that's not true. You know, a second grader is someone who doesn't know anything yet and is easily manipulated emotionally. And then you have teenagers, and they're manipulated through peer pressure. And so, you know, when you think about it, who does Nicole Hannah-Jones talk to? It's people who agree with her ideologically. It's college students. It's never with colleagues who are even mildly critical. So, you know, you're presenting this as if it were the truth. And the fallback that she has is that if you dispute anything she says, you are a racist. So it's a way to achieve power. It's propaganda.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with scholar Mary Graybar. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America by Mary Graybar. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. Of course, you can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Life matters more. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.